Yeah.
Well, once again, welcome to all of you who've called in on the Believers Line, Facebook, and those of us here. It's quick for me to notice in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that one of the things that stood out was God says he's called us out. So my question to all of us is, why would God call us out? To hear our names? No. He's called us out so that we can do his will, so that we can heed his word, his advice, and his guidance. So let me ask you another question. How many fellowships throughout your life do you think you've been to? How many seminars throughout your life do you think you've attended? How many books other than the Bible that talk about God or Jesus Christ do you think you've read? I think the answer would be a lot. A lot. I couldn't begin to tell you how many fellowships I've been to, both this side of the border and on the other side of the border. And it was all a joy to my heart. So with all that, it brings me to the title of tonight's sharing, and it's an exhortive sharing, and it's called Moving for God. Moving for God. So I'm not here to teach, believe it or not, but to share and be reminded of things God Almighty wants us to know and do. And I think that's the premise of him showing us his thoughts and his ways. Why? Because we can. Right? Because we can. All right? As we as his word clearly tells us, look in Colossians 2. Let's go there first of all. Colossians 2. And let's go down to verse 10. Again, God is asking us to hold forth the good news. He's asking us to be the light in this world, the ambassadors, moving for God. So to back that up, Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Who is him? Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus Christ do when he was alive? Go on vacations, go snorkeling, climbing mountains, getting on zip lines. No, he was healing people. He was showing people what it is to be in the family of God. So that's how his word clearly tells us that. We know that life truly is short. And to back that up, I would ask you to go to James 4:14. So none of this is groundbreaking, but it's still yet a reminder to all of us when we see and read it. James 4:14 says, whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, or you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. The NLT puts it this way. How do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Do we? No. We have intentions. We have a schedule. But things can change at the drop of a hat. Could they not? So, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. That gave me a mind picture of the mornings when I would be driving to work, and it's that time of the year when there's fog going up 15 towards Rancho Bernardo. When you're dipping down, right before you get to Poway, I can see ahead of me there's a big blanket of fog. I mean, huge, and you're going to drive right through it. But before you know it, you're out of the fog. And that tells me that must be representative of my life. You know, the rest of it is something else, but I'm going to have a life that's going to be as long as that fog is there and gone. And it's also, we know that it's comparing it to eternity. So what are we doing with the opportunities? Bottom line, what are we doing with the opportunities? Once today is gone, you can never bring it back. It's gone. So what you think in your mind, I should have, try to do less and less of, oh, I should have, and more of, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. God is always able. Are we ready? Yeah. With all the fellowships we've been to, seminars, teachings, what have you. Yes, we're ready. Really, the only prerequisite for doing something for God is His love in your heart. That's all it takes, is His love in your heart to give someone help and guidance. I'm not saying we're not doing it, but we need to keep on doing it. Okay? It's not that we're not doing it, but we need to keep on doing it. Now, I've seen the wonderful garden that Bob and Jeannie have at their home. Now, if Bob plants the seeds, would it work if Jeannie watered? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Of course it would. And because of God's perfect plan, He causes the increase. And I'm also sure that Bob doesn't just plant one seed. He plants many seeds, right? And the analogy is to what we do for God. Yeah, we can plant one seed at a time, but it won't be the only one, hopefully. We can plant and continue to plant more, all right? We do the planting, we do the watering, but God causes the increase. And I've seen that unfold in my life many, many times. And it's truly an earth-shaking blessing that you get when you see someone. One quick example, I was sharing this with Deanne in the kitchen a minute ago. We recently went to Big Bear, my wife and I, and before we went up there, we had to make a phone call, make reservations, and talk to someone. Well, I ended up talking to two young ladies, and both of them were working at the lodge that we stayed at. And if you know me, when we got done talking, I asked them, is there anything that I could pray for? The first woman, her name is Amy, she got all choked up, and she just said, you just made my day. And so she gave me something that I prayed for. Then the next time I called to confirm the reservations, spoke with a lady named Tammy, and I asked her the same question, and she really got choked before I could hear her start to cry. And she goes, yes, my husband has cancer. I said, Amy, get peaceful. I'm going to pray for him and his deliverance. I want you to expect that, all right? So we prayed. We had a wonderful time. She goes, I can't wait to meet you guys. Neither can we. So it was one of those times where when we got to Big Bear, we got to our lodge, we were able to meet the people that I prayed for on the phone, and it was just a thrill. They had flowers for us. It was just a great time. We just had a great time, and we continue to fellowship with them when we are there. So, again, we don't just plant one seed. We continue to plant seeds, and God causes the increase. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you get to chapter 3, let's go to verse 6. I'll be reading this one out of the NLT, okay? It says, I planted the seed in your hearts. That's a good place to plant the seed, is it not?
Yeah.
And Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Mm-hmm. Go down to verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Do you not know that when you get to heaven, you're going to have a crown for all the good things you did for the Father, especially that? And so we need to keep on looking to the Father and asking Him to give us these opportunities, and believe me, He will. He will. God in His Word shows and teaches us His will. Look at Psalms 25:9. And we're going to start in verse 9 of 25. It says, He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them His way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep His covenant and obey His demands. For the honor of Your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. That's all God wants, and He does. Verse 12, who are those who fear or reverence the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. The path that they should choose. That's you and I. So we never have to ask Siri for directions. We just go to God.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to merely be lemon water, but instead to stir the spirit up as lemonade. If you get water, squeeze lemon and pour sugar and don't do anything, it's just going to settle to the bottom and it's going to, but you need to stir it up. You need to stir it up so you can make lemonade out of that. And that's what we want to do with our spirit, right? Go to 2 Timothy 1:6. And in 2 Timothy, we're going to read the first part of 6 and then verse 7. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And then verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, as Daniel shared yesterday, but of power, and of love, crucial, and of a sound mind. You know, you may not have a PhD in this or that, but when it comes to God, you've got a sound mind because he gives us everything we need for that. Also, let's go to Colossians 1:11. And if you don't want to go there, that's fine because I got it up on the screen as our theme verse. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. God gives us power. He gives us power to move mountains. People say, oh, those are just nice words on paper. No, they're real. They're real. So you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. Endurance is a big deal. Jesus Christ endured the cross. We always hear he paid the price. Yeah, I understand that. But when I hear that, it's not like he just flopped down a credit card and says, okay, here you go, it's paid for. No, he endured the cross. Because leading up to the crucifixion, he was beaten, and tortured. So it was an endurance on his part of what he accomplished for our part. See? So, Colossians 1:11. Our motivation needs to start with the love of God. If you start with that, you're headed in the right direction, brothers and sisters. Amen. You're headed in the right direction. And the love of God is not just for spiritual things. It's for life. It's how you treat people. It's how you treat your family. It's how you treat a stranger. They will see that in you, especially if they've done something wrong and you still love them. They're going, what's wrong with that person? Nothing. Says, I want to get and have what they have, whatever's more. It's the love of God. Bottom line. Bottom line. It'll carry you through a multitude of things. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:8, please. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity, the love of God, among yourselves. It starts with us as individuals. We don't walk around in the world and say, you need to have the love of God. What about you? No. I'm not talking about me. You. It starts with Al Segovia. It starts with Dagmar. It starts with Daniel, Shati, and the rest of us in this room to build that foundation of the love of God. And from that, it's a springboard into doing other things with a compassionate heart. Living in our hearts. Let's close in this verse. And for this, you'll need to go to Hebrews 4:12-13. Hebrews 4:12-13. Another reminder that we've seen many, many times, but I'm going to read this out of the NLT, but it's still important and crucial for us to see what God is saying. This is part of my thoughts or not your thoughts. This is God's thoughts. Okay? It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you feel bad or you feel weak or you need to get asleep. The power of God trumps that. Mm-hmm. It trumps that. Okay? It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. I've had the privilege of working with some swords when I had my own personal business, where I had to engrave the tang or the blade. And the first thing the customer would tell me, if it was a sword of any value, be careful, it's sharp. I said, I will. And of course, when they leave, I don't see how sharp it is. So I take a sheet of paper and I just let the sword just fall on it, and it would slice it just like butter. So I knew that is sharp. And God says it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. God wants to know your desires, and your desires are what cause you to reach forth for what it is you're trying to do. So, my exhortation to us is like the title, let's move for our Father God and see what He has in store for us. There's always something that God has planned. It's not like you ask the Father for something to do and He says, oh, Dagmar, hold on, let me see if I can find something that He already knows. Because what He wants you to do might just be in front of you, but you want to ask Him anyway for His guidance and help. And let me tell you, every one of you here is super special to God. We hear it in the manifestations. We see it in His written word, and we share it with one another. You are special in God's eyes. And because of that, God is ready to help you out through thick and thin, right? Mm-hmm. So, Heavenly Father, I thank You very, very much for giving us these opportunities. Knowing of all the fellowships we've been to and all the word we've been exposed to, that we can put that into action and be proactive, Father. But once upon a time, someone did that with us. So we're thankful that that happened. So help us to make it happen for others as we move for You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.